Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today, I'm in the studio with three men from Intel who have shaped more of the computer platform than you would care to know about. I've got Ajay Bhatt, Bala Kadambi, and Jim Pappas. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Allison.
Can you guys just quickly introduce yourselves and tell us what you do at Intel?
I'm Jim Pappas. I'm a director of technology initiatives and drive a lot of new innovative technologies for computer platforms and particularly for servers.
This is Bala Kadambi, IO Technologies and Standards. I'm a director at Intel. We do a bunch of stuff all the way from clients to servers and work with the industry as well as Intel product lines.
And I'm Ajay Bhatt. I'm Intel Fellow. So I do mostly technical work. I'm in a mobile platforms group, but in the past I've worked on USB, AGP, 4X, PCI Express, and a whole bunch of chipset technologies.
Now, it's no coincidence that we have you all in the studio together today. The topic today is driving technology innovation. How do we do it at Intel, and how do we do it with the industry? And you guys have worked together on a lot of technologies in the past. Tell us about some of the technologies that you guys have worked on that our audience might have heard about before.
Well, one of the earlier ones was the original PCI bus. And I think we all had different roles not working together on that program. But where we came together was a technology that was codenamed Serial Bus. And it certainly ended up being USB. So everyone knows what a USB connector is now. The three of us and one other guy, I think, who's a core guy, the four of us spent a tremendous amount of time making USB happen.
So, you know, USB, probably the most well-known of all of the interconnects that you guys have worked on. What went into the foundation of that technology in terms of what does that process look like? And then when do we start taking that out to the industry to validate it?
So initially what happens is technologists, you know, they see the limitations of what's there today, and then they look at potential answers. Once the problem statement makes sense, and once you see the business opportunity, that's when, you know, you start forming the team, you get people with a solid track record, and then start executing.
How much of your jobs is technologists, and how much of your jobs is politicians and influencers in terms of getting the industry aligned towards a common direction?
I don't know if I'd call it politics, but there's definitely influence that goes into this. I think we work, you know, very, very closely with other companies. We form technology partnerships essentially with these companies in order to arrive at that common vision.
And every successful initiative has all the things that Ajay and Jim mentioned. Mm-hmm. There are two parts to it. One is, what is the problem you're trying to solve? And usually most people in the industry have already got there. They see the problem. They just haven't had a singular conversation in one place to say, let us solve it together. And there's usually many ways to solve it, at least two or three in most things that we have worked on. But once you have a consensus on what the problem is you're trying to solve, you can put the solution side by side and you come up with a good answer that's workable for everybody. It's affordable, it's timely, it's singular and unique, and it works for the whole industry.
So what is the impact of having a standard? And what's the impact to the end customer in terms of what they can expect?
If you look at what does the end user really value, the end user values interoperability. They probably don't fundamentally care whether a device meets a specification or not. What they really care is when they plug their devices together, when they use it, it all works as designed and as they purchased it. Standards are one of the most important steps in order to achieve that. Without a set of standards, the ability to be interoperable, you know, is nil.
So we've talked about USB, obviously a very successful technology, but take us back and tell us about when you first sat around the table to talk about this. What was the technical challenge that you were trying to solve? And what were the limiters in terms of what was existing on the platform at the time?
So go back and think about an image that we put in front of our own executives. Sean Maloney was then TA for Andy Grove, and we had this picture called Sean's PC and what the back of the PC looked like. It was a jumble of wires, but more important, you couldn't add hardware or software to it without opening the box, which required you to turn off the power, go through a bunch of stuff inside the box, which required manuals and expertise that most people didn't have, jumper settings, conflict of resources, hope it works, put it all back together, close the box, power it up, and then you find out you have to go through it again and again. Users don't want to deal with that. They won't want to open the box. They don't want to power it off. They want to hot plug devices. The software gets loaded down from the wire. And it's a single interface that can do many different things, depending on what the user needs, and you never run out of resources.
So this actually started in 1992, if I recall, right after we did Plug and Play ISA. And it took us probably about a year just to convince people. It was difficult for people to grok that idea, even though PC was hard to use. But we captured it. I remember going to Microsoft. They were looking at some other standards, and they said, we don't think this is going to work. We brought a preliminary spec that we had written and put it on the table, and they looked at it, and they said, wow.
Speaking of Microsoft, I think an interesting story. You guys remember Betsy Kim? She was the engineering manager for the mouse group up at Microsoft. And I had a meeting with Betsy, and I said, if there's ever a day that you don't think you're going to use USB for the mouse, I want you to let us know. And she was the canary in the coal mine. And one day I got that call, and they weren't going to use USB. It was a cost issue. It's too high. If they had to put a shielded cable, it was going to add 3 cents a foot to the cost of their wire, and it was a showstopper. I committed to her that we were going to fix this problem. Went back, talked to Bala and Ajay, and we redesigned, put a new mode into USB.
Slow speed mode.
And it, I think that that decision saved the initiative. There's one other thing that really made USB happen, and that's power breakfasts.
Of course. The midnight breakfast right in Tigard at Denny's.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Come back next week to hear episode 2.